for, say amen.
Amen.
If you ain't got it, say hold up. And this is what Revelation 4 says. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Would you help me pray? Precious God, we come to you, Lord Father, this evening. We thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you for your grace and thankful for your word. And we pray tonight, Lord God, for this blessed hope that we have, this message, Lord, that you've given. That we pray, Lord Father, that you just preach through us, Lord Father, exactly what you want preached. And God, I pray tonight, Lord Father, that we would open up our hearts and hear exactly what you have to say. And that, Lord, that we would not be amiss, Lord Father, to let these things slip that which you're preaching to us in these last days. Oh God, I pray tonight, Lord Father, that we would adopt all this stuff into our heart, listen carefully, and let it sink in. And that, Father, that we would, these things would be applied to our life to help us to walk closer and walk higher, Lord Father, in that with you. Lord Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that it may be that, Lord Father, that these things being adopted into our life, that it would make a difference in somebody else's, Lord. That they would see a whole lot more of you, and Lord Father, a whole lot less of us. And Lord Father, they would see that need to get saved. And Lord Father, they would come to church. Or Lord Father, they would give their life right there. But Father, no matter what it is, Lord, that most of all you get glory and honor to your high and holy name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. And I want to preach on these first two verses here in Revelation chapter number 4. There's some things here that God has laid upon my heart. And also, I guess you would say, is almost like a continuance of last Wednesday. Last Wednesday, we preached upon about how the spirit of man knoweth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. It takes the spirit of God to revelate man and for him to know exactly what God is saying in certain aspects and atmospheres and when it comes to the word. That's why the Bible says that we are to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, a workman unto God, being not ashamed. And these thoughts here, as I was reading upon these scriptures, he's talking in here as this is being wrote by John the Revelator, right after the seven letters that had gone out to the churches. And he begins to speak about how that he was looking, and behold, a door was opened unto heaven, and how that he was asked to come up. And I want to preach on tonight about something about surrendering. I want to preach about coming up and going, or just getting closer in that with the Lord. Right. And you might think, well, this is just a general type idea. I was told about this, and some folks has asked, why are you that kind of preacher that always wants folks to come and get closer to God and get closer to God? And I haven't been listening to too much preaching from other preachers. I've been sort of focused mainly upon what God has been wanting me to do. But I got to hear a message, and I was listening and said there's three types of pastors. There's the pampering pastor, and there's the pacifist pastor, and then there's the pusher pastor. And I guess I fall on the lines of the pusher. My heart's desire is to push you all and to motivate you all and to provoke you all to get closer in that with the Lord. I would love to see your walk with God be so close that you'd be like Moses, as he was in the days of the Old Testament, where the glory of God shined upon him so bright that they had to put a handkerchief in front of his face. And somebody might kind of say this tonight. I'm not about being popular, and though I want folks to love me, I want folks to like me, but I do want this. I want to make sure that when God looks down and I got to give an account of every idle word that I have spoken and everything that I have done, that I have taken care and I have watched and how that I have done what God has laid upon my heart to do. And my heart's desire is not just for you to be closer with God so I can say that you're closer with God, but that you can be closer with God, that through the valleys and through the hard times, you can rest and know, well, sure, I've heard some people say, well, preacher, how close can I get?
Well, I don't know how close it is in the Bible, but I've never found nobody who got so close that they could stop. Only two men that I've ever seen in the Scriptures where they did not taste death, but the rest of them had to keep getting closer and closer and closer, and that to the Lord. And can I say this tonight? Not only do you need to get closer, but I need to get closer to the Lord. There's one reason why that we have been left here. And the reason is that we would be in the image and the likeness of His dear Son. Because can I say this tonight? And I've preached this before, but I want to say this. That unless folks see Jesus in us, they ain't going to see Him nowhere else. And I ain't trying to be mean or trying to be difficult. But so many times people will look and try to find a sign in the clouds or a sign in the trees or a sign here or a sign there. And don't get me wrong, I have been guilty of it too at times, doing this or doing that, or as what we would call in the biblical terms, we would hang out the fleece, and as Gideon did. But can I say what God is looking for? Is God is looking for somebody to step out, step up, and come with Him in faith and allow Him to bring you closer. The one thing it's going to take. And I thought about this, and I thought, Lord, I like points, I like all these different aspects. And the biggest thing that He showed me, He tied it in the last week, was that the power and the closeness of a man or a woman or a boy or a girl with God is the amount of surrender that they're willing to give up and that get closer. Amen. As we said, John said, He must increase and I must decrease. Amen. Well, preacher, what's it got to do with Revelation chapter number 4? Well, if you bear with me and if you'd like to follow along, we're going to go through some places, but then we're going to come back to Revelation chapter number 4. But the first place I want to go to is in Genesis chapter number 24 and verse number 58. Here we find that Abraham is well up in years and he's stricken in years. And he's sending out his servant to go find a wife for his son Isaac. And Isaac is his beloved son. Isaac is the promised son. And Isaac is the one that God promised Sarah that she would conceive and have. And the Bible says that Sarah has now done past and went on. And Isaac is missing his mother. And Abraham's looking at it and said, I ain't going to be here much longer. And my boy needs to have a wife. So he sent his servant out. I do believe it might have been his eldest servant out. To find his son a bride. And that servant sought the Lord and sought the face of God. And he asked God to do this and to do that. And all the things. I won't get into the particulars. But the Bible says that everything that that servant asked God to do, because he wanted to do the best job that he can do for his master. So I say amen right there. He wanted to do the very best job that he can do in serving his master and finding that maid for his son. He finds Rebekah at the well when it comes at the heat of the day for feeding and giving water unto the camels and to the beasts. The things that the servant had asked God to show him. Say, if this be the one, send the one that will do this and do that. And the Bible says when Rebekah came, she did exactly what the servant asked God for her to do. The Bible says that Abraham sent him out amongst the kinfolk, amongst his relatives, and said, find her of my family and find her of those people. And when the servant was talking to Rebekah, and when he was finding her and talking to her, the Bible says he asked her of what family she was from. And she told him, and the servant was just overjoyed with glory and overjoyed with thankfulness, knowing that God had provided. Now, I want you to listen to this. The Bible says that all these things that Abraham had set up and all these things that Isaac had set up, or God had set up for Abraham and Isaac, the Bible says that when this servant had went to Rebekah and to her family, the Bible says that he asked her about going and being with that being with Isaac. He said, my master has sent me. There's great lands. There's all things set in order for you. Everything's been prepared. Everything's lined up. Everything's been made okay. You ain't got to worry about nothing. But the one thing she had to do was she had to step out and she had to go. And the Bible says that he went to her and asked her if she wanted to go. And she said she wanted to go. But her family was trying to hold her back. Her family didn't want her to leave. See, they saw the bracelets maybe upon her wrist and upon her hand that the servant gave her. Maybe they heard about how much wealth that the master had over in the land where Abraham was. But the Bible says that the servant asked if he could leave and take Rebekah with him. He said, no, let's tarry this night. Let's drink and be merry. And he says, no, don't hinder the master's servant. Don't hinder me. And the Bible says, he says, this is what we'll do. We'll call Rebekah. And in verse number 58, Genesis chapter number 24, this is what they said. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Can I say this tonight? You may say, well, preacher, what's the big deal over that? Well, she had to take off and she had to go with one that she had never met before. She never laid eyes on him before. She had never met this man before. Oh, but she had to go with him and go with nobody else. She had to go and make up her mind and make a decision in her heart that she was going to follow that servant and go heading towards that man and heading towards that marriage that she had no idea about. Can I say this tonight, Brother James Powell? So many people don't realize and so many people may not understand. The biggest thing that you've got to do is be willing to leave everything of your past life. Leave everything of what you know. Leave everything of what you got. And leave it and go and that with God. I've heard many people say, well, preacher, I can't do this because it doesn't make sense. And I can't do that because it doesn't line up with my thinking. But can I tell you this tonight? You'll never know the deeps or the depths of the wealth of what God has in store for you unless you're willing to go and leave everything else behind. I've often thought about this and about my own life. And I'll be quite honest with you, I'm in a struggle right now with some things. And I've been asking God and seeking the face of God. And I'm sitting there thinking about this as God lays this message upon my heart. I mean, I'm telling you, we can talk about stepping out on faith. And we can talk about doing things as God wants us to do. But I'm telling you, until we realize we've got to completely surrender and go with God, no matter what anybody else says. She could have stayed there with her family. She could have stayed there and listened to her uncle. She could have stayed there and listened to her mama and her brother. And they say, no, don't go there. Don't go there, sis. Stay here with us. Everything's nice here. Everything that you know and everything that's familiar with is right here. Don't go with that man. You know how it's going to be on the other side. You know how it's going to hook up. But can I tell you this? When she walked, I believe it's from the depth of my heart. Every step that she made with that camel, every plow that she went, every mile she took, Sister Joanne, I believe the servant of God was telling her everything about the son of the servant of Abraham was telling her everything about Abraham's son. When you said, preacher, why would you say that for? Because I've never met Jesus Christ. I've never laid my eyes on him. But the servant of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God has been telling me everything about him along this journey. And one day after a while, like Rebecca, I'll see him as he is. I'll see him off in the distance. I'll see him up in the cloud. And the Bible says I'll see him like he really is. And I'll have a body likened unto him. But I got to go with him. I got to be willing to leave my place and go with him. I wonder tonight if the reason why you can't get any closer or higher with God or deeper in the walk with God is because the things of this life, the natural things, has got a hold on you. And they want to keep you where you're at because they're familiar or because that's what you just know. And the fear of the unknown is stronger than realizing or maybe seeing what God would do when you step out. Right. Secondly, in Matthew chapter number 14 and verse number 28, the Bible talks about when Peter, James, and John and all the disciples are on the ship. They just got done doing things with the Lord. And the Lord told them, let's go on and to the other side. And the Bible says they're all in the ship. But the Lord had departed from them, and they had sent them home by themselves. And the Bible says there was this tempest and a storm that had rose up. And the Bible says as they was a rolling and a tolling, the Bible says Jesus come walking on the water. And they thought that he was a spirit. And they cried out unto the Lord. He said, here am I. I'm glad no matter how thick the cloud, no matter how strong the storm, how high the waves, or how loud the clap of the thunder, Jesus can still hear our cry. I'm glad it don't matter how deafening it might be to our ears. It cannot drown out our cry from the ears of the Lord. Oh, I'm glad tonight to know this, that no matter what the situation is, No matter what the circumstance is, no matter how big the giant is, Brother Josh Stover, if he's done it before, he's going to do her again. If he's done it for them, he'll do it for me. Oh, I believe that. Don't you believe that? But in verse number 14, or chapter number 14, and verse number 28, the Bible says that Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Can I say this tonight? If you're going to get closer with God and get deeper with the Lord and get higher with God, you're going to have to step away from the crowd. You're not only going to have to step away from the crowd, but you're going to have to step away from those that you're friends with. Step away from those that you may share the occupation with. Step away from those that have the most popular of opinions. Now think about this. Here's Peter, and he's in the boat. And he's in the boat with fellow fisher buddies. He's in the boat with his brother. And he's in the boat with other men that he's been walking with. And there's Jesus out on the water. And he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come out on the water. And Jesus said, come. I want to ask this tonight. I wonder how many times the Lord has inquired of our life and inquired of our heart and said, I want you to come out unto me. And we prayed it out there and asked God and said, God, is that truly you? God, is that really you? It's bidding me to come out there to you, out there in a place where nobody else can go, but just be you and me. I mean, I'm talking about God. Has God ever got a hold of you and said, I want to pull you out to a place where it's just you and I alone, and I'm going to have something and do something and work something in your life? Oh, can I say this? There's been times when God has said, Jason, I want you to do this, and I've had to look back and say that I relied upon the opinions of everybody else that was in the boat. I've relied upon the knowledge of everybody else in the boat. And I would ask them their opinion. And Brother James, they would definitely love to give me their opinion. I mean, ain't that right? Everybody's got opinions like feet. Got one or two of them. Ain't that right? Most people's got one or two feet. And they stink just like their opinions do. And I want you to know something. I've sat there and I've had to realize and plead guilty to the case where I've relied upon the opinions of others and the friendship of others and the things, the popular notion that was going. And I didn't step out on the water and walk unto the Lord. But God's not looking for people to stay in the boat. God's looking for somebody who's willing to get out of the boat. Step out on faith. Step out for God. Completely surrender and say, Lord, here am I. He was willing to walk away from it all. He was willing to step out on the boat. Peter was a fisher. I think he probably knew he was in some deep water. Some people try to say that the water probably wasn't that deep and he really didn't walk on the water. Just like the people said that the children of Israel never crossed over the Red Sea. They said they probably crossed over the Reed Sea, which is about ankle deep. All I got to say is the Bible says it was the Red Sea, and it was the Red Sea. Secondly, if the water was only ankle deep, how could you cure all those men and chariots and horsemen in the Reed Sea if it was only ankle deep? I thank God for this tonight. But can I say this? God's not looking for folks to stay in the boat. I've heard some people say, preacher, that message might be better served and preached somewhere else. Well, I've only got one problem with that. The one who served up the message told me I had to preach it here tonight. And I want you to know something. God's looking for somebody to step out of the boat and come walking on the water. Get away from the popular opinion and the popular notion and the whispers in the ear saying, no, don't do this and don't do that. Well, God's looking for somebody to say, I'm going to trust you with all my life and all my heart. So many times we miss the blessings and we miss out on what God wants us to have and do because somebody else's opinion. And sometimes friends, and can I say this? I'm not trying to dog the friends. I've been one of the friends in the boat before saying, no, don't go, don't go, don't go. And I've often thought about this because when it comes to the surrender, when you surrender to the Lord, I don't know if this happens for anybody else. Surrendering to the Lord ain't a one-time thing. Now, I surrendered my life. I surrendered my soul. I surrendered everything about myself for James Powell the day that God saved my life. He moved in, changed my life, changed my destination, changed my want-tos, changed what I like to drink, changed what I like to eat, changed everything about me. But the next day, Tony, I had to get down on my knees and surrender to God once again. Because as soon as I walked in that shop and got on that machine line, somebody was wanting to tell me a dirty joke. Somebody would talk about how wild the weekend was. And I didn't want to hear it. I had to surrender to God one more time and say, I'm not going to try to compete or blend in with the world. I'm going to dare to be different and stay out of the boat. in 1 Kings chapter number 19 and verse number 21. This is when the apostle, or this is when Elijah the prophet, thought he could not do no more, and God sent him some help. And he was going to send him Elisha, was one of the helps. And the Bible says Elisha was sent, and he said he returned back in 1 Kings 19 and verse number 21. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Can I say this tonight? You've heard me say it so many times. Kill the cows and burn the plows. That's what Elisha did. He got rid of his old life, all the remembrance of it. And he wanted everything he wanted to do, he wanted to do for the servant of the Lord. And oftentimes when we think about doing things or doing the things that God wants us to do, a lot of times we still have the things of the old life attached to us, or the old way of thinking attached to us. I'm not saying he's still thinking as a lost person. A lot of times the carnal thinking gets in the way. I was talking to Joanne here recently. One of the dearest things, I'll never forget this as long as I live, was the testimony that her mother gave at Stone Lake Missionary Baptist Church. We was there helping them out. And she said the day the Lord saved her soul wasn't a couple of days later. She went home and took all of her britches and everything that was worldly, the things that she had, took them out in the front yard and set them on fire. She was getting rid of everything that was of the world, was getting rid of them. Some people say, well, that's just absolutely foolishness. Well, it felt something on the inside of my heart saying, you're going to have to separate yourself from the things of the world if you're going to have power with God. Can I say this tonight? So many saved people, and I believe they're saved, Brother Eddie, but so many saved people, and so many folks that have been saved are in the house of God, and they don't have the power that God wants them to have because they're not willing to burn the plows and kill the cows and get rid of the old life and separate themselves and say, I'm going to stick with God. I'm forsaking the things of the world. I got to thinking about this, and some folks don't like these scriptures, but they're in the Bible, so they're for us. And the Bible says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what profit hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I know it's not popular. I know people look at you, they'll start calling you names. But I'm telling you, God's looking for somebody to separate themselves from the unclean thing. How did this happen to anybody? I never forget, my family was worried. They said Jason was going down the wrong path. Jason's life was a shambles, and Jason's life was no good. They didn't like the decisions I was making. They just thought I was going to wind up in a horrible mess and embarrassment and to the Faulkner name. Well, God had something else different in plan, and all of a sudden I get saved. Hallelujah. Be about 17 years. Come April 4th, I've been saved 17 years, April 4th. And I was sitting there, and I'll never forget, I got saved and told my mama and told my daddy I got saved and told them I was going to get baptized in Twin Creek and invited them to come, but they didn't come. I'll never forget, I told them that God called me to preach, and they got to argue amongst themselves whether or not I should go to the seminary school or not. Can I say something? They all was real happy that Jason got his life turned around, but Jason got too much saved about his life. He was just too religious. He just got too much Jesus. He was acting too holy. It went from, man, he's going to be in trouble, to, man, who does he really think he is? And can I say something? It's always hurtful to the people. It's always hurtful to the ones who's not willing to separate themselves from the things of the world. But can I tell you, God's looking for a people who says, I'm going to do the things that God wants me to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to step out. I'm going to burn the things that once I loved and say, God, give me the things you want me to have. I'm telling you, the things that God will give in your life will far outweigh and bless you more than the carnal things you once gave up. And I'm telling you this tonight, there needs to be somebody who's willing to get rid of, burn the plows and kill the cows and get closer with God. I'm trying to push you tonight, church. I'm trying to push you. In 1 Peter chapter number 2, 1 Peter chapter number 2, Peter writes at verse number 9, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal peace, a priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You should shew forth the praises of Him." Did you hear that? That we should shew forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Amen.
Thank God for Him. No longer in the darkness, but I'm in the light. It says, "Which time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy." Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas ye speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. He's telling us here that we should be that royal priesthood and separate ourselves from the fleshly lusts which shall war against our soul. Can I say this tonight? A lot of the times, and don't get me wrong, I believe there's a devil. I believe there's evil spirits. And I believe there's bad things. And I believe bad people still exist. And I believe bad people do bad things. And sometimes good people do bad things. But the Bible says that we are to stay away from those fleshly lusts because they war against our soul. I have found out myself the biggest enemy that I face every single day is the one that I look at in the mirror. I had somebody tell me one time when they got mad and didn't like it, but I had 3 or 4 people talking about how the devil just beat them up all week long. And I went to them, I said, "Now listen, there's only one thing about the devil you can't do." They said, "What's that?" I said, "He can't be everywhere at once. There's only one that's that way, and that's God. God is omnipresent. The devil can't be at your house and my house and somebody else's house." But can I say this? There is a fleshly spirit that sometimes I just have to fight with. And sometimes it acts like the devil. And sometimes it almost thinks I am fighting the devil. But I'm telling you, the Bible says to come out from among it, separate yourself from it, and not give in to those worldly lusts. Because they'll war against your soul. He's looking for those who's willing to surrender. Trying to push you tonight. Trying to provoke you tonight to look at your life and say, "Have I surrendered everything to the Lord? Have I truly surrendered it?" When God was calling me to preach, I did not want to surrender. He put everything He wanted to in my path, and I finally surrendered. But can I say this tonight? I could have fought against it and not surrender. People say, "Preacher, I don't believe in that." The Bible talked about Samson, how he would not surrender, but he fought and he fought and he fought against who he was supposed to be. He loved the pretty women. He loved doing all the fighting. He loved all the accolades, but he did not want to keep himself straight in that with the Lord. When he finally got himself wooed to sleep by Delilah, when he finally got wooed to sleep by her and she cut off his hair and he lost all of his strength, the last thing he could do was ask God to forgive him. When that hair started to sprout up, he said, "One more time, Lord, one more time. Let me take out this enemy for you." I've often seen people, and there was a bunch here on Sunday, bunch of them in here on Sunday, that did not have the power that they once had because sin has wrecked their life. Sin has destroyed their life. The fleshly lust has warred against their soul so bad that they no longer surrender to the Lord. They just surrender to the temptation. I said it Sunday, and I wasn't trying to be funny, but a lot of times we don't look to see if it's right with God. We just look to say, "God, forgive me," when it's over with. And I have to say this, I don't think God's pleased with that. And too many times when it comes to the surrender of the Lord, is the surrender is not just surrendering under your conditions. God only takes a complete and full surrender. White flag of flying and waving. What's it got to do with Revelation chapter number 4, verses 1 and 2? Notice in that first verse, it says, "Come up hither." It says, "Come up hither." The Lord is wanting him to come up. The Lord is wanting to get him off, separated. Can I say this? I ain't trying to be mean. I said this a while back, and I think some folks may have took this the wrong way. When I said, we'll come to the house of God, and God will give a message through one of these preachers, and we'll give it through the pastor. And a lot of times we'll sit and we'll listen to it, but we didn't want to give no credence to it. But we'll go home and we'll turn on the television set, or we'll go home and turn on the radio, or we'll pop in a cassette from an old preacher, or we'll go on the internet and look up other preachers and listen to them. I'm guilty of that. And that's what God had hammered me on here recently. He said, Jason, he goes, I'm looking for somebody who's willing to separate themselves and get alone with me. And here in Revelation chapter number 4, he's saying, come up hither. Come up away from all those things that are around you. The apostle, the John the Revelator, is the apostle John. John the Beloved, John the Divine. And he's on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He had surrendered his life for the testimony. He had surrendered his life to preach the word of God. He surrendered his life and gave up everything that he might be the one. I think it always amazes me at one place in the Gospels. And I can't remember which Gospel it's in. But all the disciples, when Jesus was talking about somebody was going to betray him, all the disciples said, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Because they felt that guilt in their heart. But John the Beloved had his head against the bosom of Jesus and said, Lord, who is it? Because John knew it wasn't going to be him. He had made up his mind in his heart. He done burnt the plows, killed the cows. He done surrendered. He done submitted. He went with that man. He stepped out of the boat and said, I know I'm not going to be the one who's going to betray the Lord. And he's asking to come up thither. Notice in the second verse. In the second verse he says that immediately he was in the Spirit. Come up hither. And immediately he was in the Spirit. The Bible says in John Romans chapter 1, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, was the power of God and the salvation of the Jew first, also to the Greek. He said, for there is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and is written, the just shall live by faith. That revelation that comes from God can only match up when it matches up with the Spirit. And immediately, as soon as John was separated from the things of this world, he was in the Spirit. Is anybody hearing this preacher this evening?
Amen.
Unless we, as God's people, unless we, as God's church, be willing to separate ourselves and come up high, we'll never get in the Spirit.
Amen.
How many people have ever been in the churches before where they start beating on the instrument, playing on the instrument? Or we put it this way. I've been in churches before. I've been down there in a place in an old... And on top of an old holler, an old cliffside in Kentucky, and they start beating on those instruments, guitars, and start beating on that bass. And it's their favorite song, and it goes from night to day. They just turn on and go. And I'm sitting right there, and I don't feel nothing. But they're working something up. They're working something up. And there's things that's being said, it's not biblical. There's things that's being said, it's not godly. There's things that's being said, it's flat worldly, Sister Becky. And I'm sitting there going, do these people not know what they're doing? But since they feel something, since there's something moving in the midst, they think it's of the Lord. But can I tell you this? God's looking for somebody who'll separate themselves from the things that's common unto man. Because the things of man cannot discern the things of God, because they're spiritual things and deeply things that need to be discerned. And the only way you can discern them is getting up and closer with God. Does anybody hear this preacher? Y'all hearing me? I'm trying to ask to realize and push and provoke us to realize that unless we get closer with God, we'll never get more higher in the Spirit and closer and powerful with the Lord. Thirdly, it says in verse 2, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, one sat on the throne. He got a closer look and a deeper look at the Lord. I've heard people say, I want to know more. What's that? I love that song. I want to know more about my Jesus. Jason Murray standing here Sunday. I'm about done. Jason Murray standing here Sunday. He said, I love that preaching. He said, singing never saved nobody. I know people that if they'd heard him said that, they probably got up and walked out. They would have. In 2016, It's like in the Church of Corinthians, and I do believe it's the 14th chapter. Everybody's got a psalm. Everybody's got a doctrine. Everybody's got this. Everybody's got that. Everybody's got them some. And they all lay a claim. They all lay a claim to the Lord. But in Revelation chapter number 4, the Lord's asking to come up closer. Come closer to me. Come up hither. Come up here to me. When Peter was in the boat, Jesus said, come on, Peter, step out. Come closer to me. Come closer to me. When Rebecca was sitting there with all of her family, she was asked, you going to go with this man? You going to go? Elisha was asked, you willing to give up everything you got? 12 yoke of oxen, I think is what they said he had. 12 yoke. Plowed. Probably most probably popular young fella. Everybody liked him. Maybe on a football team. Homecoming king. I don't know. But he was willing to surrender and give it all up. I wonder if you young people would be willing to take that step for the Lord. So I'm going to surrender my life and do what he had me to do. I wonder if there's any older people that'd be saying, I'm going to surrender. You say, preacher, Sunday was off the chain. Why would a message like this come? Because, as it's been said, time has not stopped. How many people has died since Sunday and went to hell? How many souls have we walked past and not witnessed to? How many people have we impacted? You said, preacher, I'm tired. Hey, I am too. I even fell asleep last night. Don't make fun of me now. I was so tired. I don't know how I got through Monday, but I fell asleep last night at 6:30. Woke up at midnight, went back to bed, and woke up at 5:30, and still was tired. Somebody said, well, you slept too much. Didn't feel like I slept too much. Felt like I didn't sleep enough. I was still tired. Anybody ever done that before?
Amen.
Amen. And I hear this excuse. Well, it's the end times, preacher. Ain't too many people going to get saved. I'm not using that excuse. If they're going to go to hell, they're going to have to go to hell with my teeth clenched, with my arms wrapped around their legs, and me digging into the ground, holding on with all my might. That should be the same way with the whole church. Preacher, how do we get them? How do we make a difference? We got to get closer to the Lord. We got to get closer to the Lord. Easter's coming. Vacation Bible school's coming. Camp meeting's coming. Youth retreat's coming. Homecoming's coming. All kinds of things we got planned up. And we decided to stop it all, pray on Thursdays at 6:30. And I hope, if you couldn't have been here, I hope you've been praying. Because God's been doing a lot of things since he said, you all need to pray. I wonder tonight if there's anybody willing to say, you know what, I want to surrender more of myself. I want God to increase in my life. I want to come up high. I want to come up higher, and I want to get more spiritual. And I want a more closer and a more intimate look with the Lord. That's what God's asking for us tonight. What do you ask since you're saved? And some people say, well, you ask for other folks to be saved. And I understand that, but the Bible says it's the Lord's will that none perish but all come to repentance. But he uses his church. He uses the people of the church. Is that wrong? And some people, sometimes this may seem hurtful, but some people can get used. I want to be used. So tonight, let's get us a song. I want to ask you, if there's more surrender that you need to do or you'd like to do, is there more in your life you'd like to give up and say, Lord, I want to come higher with you. I want to come higher. I want to get in the spirit, be more spiritual.
Yeah.
It's going to start with a surrender. It's going to have to start with a surrender. And say, Lord, I'm coming closer to you.